If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for our newsletter at OSIRISpod.com to stay in the loop. Relics Magazine is a media partner of OSIRIS. For more, visit relics.com. The show starts now.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cumberland Blues, the Grateful Dead classic, taken from a Liberty Hare Farm performance in 2017 by Grateful Shred. The emergence of Grateful Dead tribute bands both locally, nationally, and indeed internationally is at an all-time high. Between members of the Dead playing their own repertoire they made famous to acts like Dark Star Orchestra and Joe Russo's Almost Dead, amongst others more locally like Mars Hotel and Barely Dead, there seems to be a tribute act playing almost every weekend, if not all the time. The music lives on and has never stopped. Back a few months ago, we had Sam and Clay on from Mapache. A listener who heard the show alerted us to the fact that this duo were part of another Dead tribute outfit, Grateful Shred. Since then, we've heard several performances and have tracked their trajectory. We recently sat down with Dan Horn, who holds down the Phil Lesh role in the band, of course playing bass. While he's actually involved in several projects, when we spoke, our conversation started when I asked how Grateful Shred came to be.
Well, it was mostly just pretty organically, about as organic as you can probably get from a band. We were just friends and working on other projects, and actually we have a house. I've had this house here in Echo Park for a long time, and some of these guys actually had moved into my house, and I moved out because I have a family now, so it's like a bachelor pad vibe, and they moved in, and we're always jamming. There's a studio there, you know, we're always playing music, and then we start to realize that, like, we all know, like, this huge Dead catalog, you know, and are jamming on all these songs without even, like, you know, having to learn them or whatever. And Austin has his country band, and he plays a weekly gig, you know, and they get some gig at, I think it was at the Echo Park Rising Festival. And he's like, well, why don't we do it with this Dead thing instead of my country thing? And there you go. And we're like, oh, sure, that sounds fun. So we play at Echo, the Echo Park Rising Festival, and out at the Echo. And then there you go. And then from there, you know how it goes. It's like, oh, that sounds great. Come do this other thing. Okay, sounds fun. And then yeah.
There are so many either national touring Grateful Dead tribute acts, or, you know, even regional ones. But yours is a little different, and I think it's because of the looseness of the band. You know, DSO is, these guys have been doing it for, well, since Jerry's passing, really, and J-Rad has been doing it for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. But you guys bring a looseness, I think, to the music that's a little bit different. Do you feel the same way about it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, as part of that, it's just in our approach, you know. We don't. It's also just in the way that we play, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just our kind of everyone's style of playing. But yeah, we don't try to, like, really copy down to the T, you know, any particular version or any, we're not playing, like, you know, like an exact Jerry line or whatever, like, you know. And also, like, I think it also has to do with having three guitar players, and they're kind of passing the parts around, you know.
Right. I think, bass perspective, it's hard to copy note for note what Phil does on any song, because it's just so different from playing, you know, regular bass, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you listen from show to show, Phil's always coming at a song with a different feel or groove. You know, he'll throw out his old, he'll have some, you know, completely iconic bass line that he played on the record that everyone knows, and he'll just throw it out the window and do something else. And so I think that's a good point, actually, because if I would say that there was something that I do copy from Phil, it would be that, you know, I try to play it different every time, you know.
Your sound is way more reminiscent of late 60s, early 70s Dead. Is that kind of the era that you guys concentrate on when you're either listening to shows or talking about different versions of songs that you like? I mean, is that intentional on your part to have a more psychedelic sound to what you're doing?
Well, I mean, probably we do gravitate towards that as far as like probably which show we would pick to listen to or whatever, you know. But the repertoire, we kind of like to play we'll play anything, you know. We want to, you know, like we just started doing Feel Like a Stranger, you know, and we do Althea.
I guess it's not so much about the repertoire. It's about kind of the looseness and the feeling that sounds way more organic than, you know, some of the later stuff.
Part of it can be for, like, yeah, that's kind of the sounds that we have on our guitars, but also it's pretty much just how we play. And also maybe it has to do with the fact that we haven't been doing this as this particular lineup for that long. And so that was in when the Dead was in their, you know, creation phase, you know, that's what they sounded like. And we're kind of in that same creation phase, trying to like figure out each other and how we play together, and that's just the sound that comes out.
Right.
You know?
I'm curious about who picks the songs. How do you guys decide on a set list, or is it pretty spur of the moment before you do a show?
No, we like to kind of plan it, you know, because we don't want to repeat. And we also, it's pretty fun, actually. A lot of times it's in the van on the way to the show, you know, mm-hmm. if there's a drive that day. And like sometimes someone will hear a show that and like, oh, that was cool. Like we started doing Mama Tried into Mexicali Blues because we heard like a cool show,
right,
that where they did that, you know, stuff like that. Or like we did same show, I think it was that, and then also Franklin's Tower without Help Slip, like super right. fast and disco kind of
yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, let's try that, you know, stuff like that. So just to kind of mix it up and keep it changing. But then also there's a way that you construct a set, and that's another thing that we try to learn from studying their sets, where you have to have like, you know, you have your first set, it's got the thing that brings everyone in, and then you go out there and do some country jams or some weird cover or some, and then you bring it back with like a classic, you know, or a groovy disco dance number or something mm-hmm. like that to close the set out. And then yeah, so you have an arc to the set that we kind of have studied from their shows, but also, you know, we bring like our own vibe and our own modern, you know, try to adapt to the town we're playing in or the venue or whatever, you know. So right. it's usually earlier in the day, pretty thought out.
You have a pseudo connection to the Grateful Dead through Circles. Have you shared the Grateful Shred stuff with any of them? Have you had that opportunity to share any of your music with any members of the band?
No. Last time I did get to jam with Bob a few years ago with Jonathan Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
We did a session with him at his old studio, TRI.
Right.
And that was really cool. So that was kind of like a big moment for me to be able to see how he does it and see how cool and accepting he is of musicians. And then he would sit in with us a couple. He sat in with us a couple times too. But since I've been doing this, I haven't really run into them since it started. But I would love to. I mean,
right.
They so we'll see what happens.
You're a busy guy playing with Circles and Cass McCombs and Jonathan Wilson. You're probably busier than most of the other guys in the band. Do you ever see this being, you know, a full-time thing where you guys are concentrating 80 to 90% of your time on Grateful Shred? Is that something that you want to do? Is that something the rest of the guys in the band want to do?
Well, I think one of the coolest things about the Grateful Shred is that we all go and do our own thing, you know?
Right.
And we develop from that. So I just kind of see it all happening, you know, it all kind of works together, you know? It's so great that we get the opportunity to have, like, Mapache open the shows, you know?
Right.
It's great for the Shred, it's great for the audience, and it's great for Mapache because, you know, it seems to, everyone seems to enjoy it, and it's, like, a nice way to enter the room, you know? And also, you know, you have your different outlets for playing, like, you know, creative outlets, writing, jamming, you know, as a musician. So I think just being able to, I think the good thing about the Shred for us in that respect is that we don't have to, like, when we're done with our bands, we don't have to go, we get to keep playing, you know.
Right.
We go, okay, we're done with this. We can't really play any more shows with our, this band or that band. Oh, let's go do the Shred. We can do that for a while, you know. And I think that's what makes it all work.
I'm curious about how you guys hooked up with Ryan Gullen, who is a all-star up here in Canada. And I know that he directed, for those who don't know, Ryan Gullen is the bass player in the Sheepdogs. I'm curious how you connected with him to do a video. And Ryan and I chatted about it, but we never talked about how the connection was made.
I'm not actually totally positive, but I do believe it was just from seeing that video, and it was so cool. And then I think Austin might have, or I'm not sure if Austin knew him before that, maybe, mm-hmm. or if he hit him up cold from just seeing that cool video that they, one of their cool videos that they did,
right.
being like, hey, yeah. And then he was in LA, so it just kind of was like, oh yeah, I'm around, let's do it.
So what's next? You guys are touring throughout August, mostly on the West Coast. Well, you're going to the center of the country with Boise and Salt Lake City. Are you guys, is this, you know, is your management always booking gigs for you and working around your schedule? And how many more shows do you think you have in you before the end of the year?
We were supposed to go to Australia, but I think that just fell through, which is a bummer. But that's really cool that they were like, they found us and were like, hey, come to Australia.
Wow.
Some a promoter out there. So, but unfortunately, but hopefully that's going to happen in next spring. But, and then we're going to, I'm not sure if it's announced yet, if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to Colorado.
Cool.
I think it's announced in December for a few there, which is going to be sick because, you know, Colorado's awesome. It's going to be cold, but hey, we'll figure it out. I think that's about it. There's some stuff in the works for December too, I think, so we'll be doing some more stuff.
Right, and I guess based on the fact that, you know, you have circles to take care of and probably a release in the fall, you probably are busy with some other project as well. I'm curious if you're the bass player. I mean, I know that they rotate in and out different drummers sometimes, and you've had different keyboard players play with you. Is it a case of needing somebody last minute? And is there a chance that, I realize you're a founding member, but if you can't make a show or whatever, you know, do you not book the show because you're not available? Are you a key to the Grateful Shred thing at this point?
I think so. I think it would be kind of like, yeah, we have the four of us that we have done every show. So we want to keep the same drummers and keyboard players, but yeah, it's busy. And it's also kind of like when we started, it was kind of like, you know, we had a few friends and we couldn't pick, you know, and we're like, oh, let's just rotate. And like, so it's a bit of that, you know, just trying to, like, we have so many cool players that we like playing with and like, oh yeah, that's cool. Let's do one with Austin, Petey or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of both, but yeah, we've never done one without, the four of us.
The core
Sam,
four.
Clay, Austin, and me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we're hopefully going to be able to keep that. I don't know if there's any point in mixing it up too much, you know.
Right, right. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate the music you guys are making. And it is a departure from the other tribute bands. And if people haven't heard you, we'd encourage you to do so. They can also check out GratefulShredMusic.com. And, of course, Dan, you have a whole bunch of projects. The new Circles Around the Sun record comes out, I think, in the fall or late summer here. Are you also working
on... Yeah, I think August.
Yeah.
August something.
Are you also still working with Cass and John? I've heard a bit of the Jonathan Wilson record, so I'm sure he doesn't have a new record anytime soon. But does Cass have a new record coming out? Let's plug as much as we can.
Well, actually, the main thing is, well, me and Cass have our other band called the Skiffle Players.
Right.
And and that's with Cassell too, Neil Cassell, and a couple of guys, Aaron Spursky and Farmer Dave Scherr from Beachwood Sparks. It's kind of like a continuation of the old Beachwood Sparks vibe. And that we just had an EP that came out like a week ago. It's called the Piffle Sayers EP. And then we have a full length, which is like I'm super psyched about. It's like been a lot of hard work, and it's like really coming together as a solid piece of music, and it's coming out September 28th. It's going to be called Skiff, and look for the announcement on that really soon. It's coming. It's going to be a good one.
And you guys are touring that record as well a little bit. I mean, you are, it's insane that you're so busy. That's good, I guess.
I know. It's good. It's hard on my family, but it's cool for the music and for everyone. But that we got some shows coming up in September, the Skiffle, and also the Circles shows. And then I'm playing with Jonathan Wilson this weekend at the Lincoln Center outdoors concert series in New York, in Manhattan.
Is somebody taking care of your frequent flyer miles? I mean, you're going back and forth, quite a bit.
I keep racking them up. I got to figure out how to cash them in.
Yeah, well, you should take the family to take the family to Australia and make good on going there and make good on all the time away.
I know. I already have the time blocked out and it got canceled. That's a good idea.
Cool, man. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. And continue making a really inspired and great music. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot.
It's pretty cool, I think, that there are musicians who are not only fans of the Grateful Dead canon, but are also willing to reimagine and play the repertoire well. You can check out Grateful Shred's tour schedule at GratefulShredMusic.com or check out our Grateful Shred playlist on YouTube at YouTube.com/TheSoundPodcast. Before we leave you, have a listen to I'm a Hog for You, taken from a Grateful Shred performance, April 21st, 2018.
your chips. This little pig is gonna over your house, gonna nibble on your sweet lips. I'll up all for you, baby. Can't get enough of your love. When I go to sleep at night, you're the only thing I'm thinking of.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.